D1, number 11A.
So, I want first to give you an outlay of how I'm going to take this chart. If you take the chart, then you will see that on the top we have the word Christ, Christianity, and science. So the first thing I'm going to do is to take the word Christ, Christianity, and science, each on its level of divine science, absolute Christian science, Christian science. Just those four terms on the levels. Afterwards, I'm going to take the synonymous terms within those levels. See, I go back then to the word there on in divine science and take life, and then truth, love, divine principle, love, the horizontal, in the terms of the synonymous terms. Then, when I have shown that, then I want to show those synonymous terms vertical, going down the word vertically from the top to bottom, through the levels, and then the Christ, truth, vertically, and then love, Christianity, vertically, and science, divine principle, love, vertically. And then, when we have done that, that may take us until tomorrow evening, when we have done that, then really we have gained the instruments with which to work. Then we could begin to work creatively, namely by asking what are the relationships which exist between these different categories. And there, naturally, the joy and the beauty and the grandeur and the whiteness then comes in. So this is the groundwork we are doing, just to get our tools right, so that afterwards we can use those tools infinitely. You see that there is no sentence on that chart. I think that's so important to realize, that from now on, really, with this chart, we have left behind a sentence text, so to say. A sentence text is always limited, because in one sentence you can only express one limited thought, one limited idea. See, it's very limited. But the moment we have just elements which are defined and therefore through the levels classified, through the four of where Christ, Christianity, and science further classified in categories, and then giving the definite tone of each synonymous term, we open up an infinite calculus. We just open up infinity. We open the floodgates of heaven, really. But the difference will be that as long as one has a sentence text, one is thinking what the other has been thinking. And from now on, we are no more thinking what the other has been thinking. But from now on, we have the divine mind revealing itself to us in a scientific way, because now we are creatively combining the infinite facts of being. We become geniuses in being, compositors, and not just playing what Mozart has composed. We are going to make new compositions. That's the term. And this is this is terrific, because this will open up genuine thinking, original thinking, which is not just imagination, which is not just highfalutin, but which is disciplined in the categories of being, of science. So that's why I spent quite a time just to give a sense of what the four levels as such are, because if we have those four very distinct in consciousness, they naturally will pervade all the rest and give the tone of each level. See, it's so natural, this thing, because the level of science itself just says there is an infinite one. We have only to do with an one. But then thought asks further, and we come to divine science, says, but what is in this one? And we come to divine science and just say, in this infinite one, there is just oneness in infinite way. But then thought says, well, that's all right to say there is oneness and only oneness in infinite way, but of what does this oneness consist of? And we come to absolute Christian science, which says this oneness consists of ideas. And we come to the relationship of ideas explaining this oneness. And then thought goes further and says, yes, that's all right, that there is just infinite calculus of ideas, but what has that to do with this plane of living here in the material universe? And so the plane of Christian science comes in and says, and this calculus of ideas, because they are not separated from divine science and science itself, have the power of the infinite one of science, and therefore are infinitely one with every other idea through divine science, and therefore these ideas have the power of the infinite one, have the possibilities of the infinite one, have the substance of the infinite one, and therefore are made flesh. The flesh has to yield. Ignorance has to yield. Before an idea, illusions disappear. Again, the infinite one, all right, in the infinite one there is always oneness. That oneness is a oneness of a calculus of ideas. That calculus of ideas is always the solution for the calculus of mortality and of the flesh. Is that clear?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, let's keep these categories clean and clear. Then all the rest will become easier and easier. And you see the necessity of these categories, because in discussing being with anybody, be it with Christian scientists, be it with Eastern philosophy, be it with whatever it wants to be, we always will meet different levels. The one will say, well, there is only one being, and that's all the being there is, and he's right. But if he leaves it at that and doesn't go any further, error will just do with that person what error wants to do with it, because it doesn't include the other levels of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. The other one says, oh yes, all you have to know that there is all is love. There is only one love and all is love. Yes, it's true. It's a fact. But does that handle the belief of fear and of hate and jealousy and so on? If it doesn't translate itself to the level of Christian science, we don't handle its opposite, and so disprove fear and hate. Or the other one says, who is on the level of absolute Christian science, he says, all I have to do is to make preventive work. That's right. Let's do preventive work. But not all that has to be done. It's just one category out of the four. It's not enough to make preventive work. It's also right to handle visible error and audible sin when it appears, so that the level of Christian Science is necessary. So here we find that in Mrs. Eddy's writings, as practically no other writings of metaphysicians of our days, all the levels are combined in one consistent whole. She doesn't just remain in the absolute or in the divine and not touch on the other questions, but she interweaves in the text all levels. So we can see in regard of handling any discord, we can see, yes, it's right to start with a top level of science and see principle knows no discord, has no lapse from nor return to harmony. But then on the level of divine science, we see, yes, therefore discord is excluded. It's not within the one, it's excluded. But then thought asks, excluded to where? And why? And why is then there a suggestion of evil? And the moment that comes up and says, but why is there a suggestion of evil? Why I'm conscious of evil? Then we must explain why it is not scientific, and that's on the level of absolute Christian Science. But that is not enough yet. Then the question must come in, but how does it have its effect on the flesh? So the fleshly evil has to be disproved. The whole range, therefore, is from the infinite one right down to incarnate error. What is the relationship of the infinite one, which knows no lapse from harmony, no return to harmony, to the point of disproving fleshly evil? For instance, in just to show how the text of the textbook sometimes in few words touches all those four levels. For instance, in the Apocalypse, where the symbol comes up of the dragon as a symbol of the sum total of human error, she says, the Gabriel of his presence has no contest. You hear at once, science itself has no contest. There's no question of dragon coming in at all for that level. Has no contest to infinite ever-present love, all is love. And there is no error, no sin, sickness, nor death. See, there is no evil. That's science. Then she goes on and says, against love. Once we have a sense against, see, brings in something, the possibility that there may be something outside of divinity. Against love, the dragon warreth not long, for he is killed by the divine principle, for he knows the time is short. Divine science. Divine shines with instantaneous healing. Says, there is no long process. It's instantaneous in the oneness of being. It has no chance to live on. Then she goes on to absolute Christian Science and says, truth and love prevail against the dragon. Now, we have at once a sense, oh, there is some relation going on, some fight going on between truth and the dragon. And gives us a reason, because the dragon cannot war with them. Now she gives the reason why error is nothing, because it cannot war long. And then she brings it right down to Christian Science and says, thus endeth the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit overcomes the flesh. Can you see how sometimes in one or two sentences she will draw together all those four levels in regard to one proposition, one problem to be handled. Yes. Now, let's start with that chart and see how those four concepts of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science are used. First of all, let us be clear again that these four terms are not God in its essential sense. God itself is not Word, Christ, Christianity, science. Being itself does not need to explain itself to itself and say, I am the Word, I am the Christ, I am Christianity, I am science. To the infinite one, there is no need, or even in the infinite one, for the infinite one, there is no need to explain itself to itself. So, the introduction of these four terms are symbols which explain, so to say, the office of God. The four different offices of God, symbols which are necessary for us to understand the infinite being. Mr. Dawley says that very clearly in the Oxford reports that these four divine offices are not God in its essential nature, but they are in and of God, symbols which are needed that we can understand and demonstrate the infinite one. Therefore, on the level of science, we have not four. The level of science itself has no categories of four. They only appear then when science itself has to explain itself to human consciousness. It's a symbol which is necessary for us. It's a working tool for us. But let's be clear that being itself isn't Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. There are only ways and offices which we perceive and cognize in order to understand God. Those four are symbols which in the Bible have been symbolized through the holy city with the four equal sides. That city was not God. That city came down from heaven. It is therefore already a translation and a reduction of science itself to our understanding. So, this is the reason why, on the level of science itself, which we would have on the top, we don't find a category of those four. And this is very important to see, because then one begins to realize that these four are introduced for us as a ladder let down from heaven, so that we can use it in order to get hold of the divine consciousness. So they appear for the first time on the level of divine science, and we take the horizontal there of divine science and ask ourselves, what does Word, Christ, Christianity, and science mean on that level? The Word. What could the Word mean on the level of divine science if we know? You see, we begin to reason things out by ourselves now. If we know that divine science has to do with oneness, all-inclusiveness, therefore, this Word is just as the divine Word saying, that divine Word is the self-existent nature of deity. So out of itself, just self-existent. God is self-existent. It hasn't anything outside of itself. It doesn't draw anything from outside. It all draws from in within itself. And so we get the sense that the word here in Divine Science shows the nature of deity as a self-existent being. It comes to us as the nature of self-existence, of self-declaration of being, self-declaring itself. The world presents itself and says, I am God. I declare myself as the one God. I am the only being. I am the only existence. It's the one self-existence. Mrs. Eddy symbolizes this word in Divine Science quite often with light, but as infinite light, not as let there be light. This is not possible here, but as infinite light, because it's the one thing, one light, and so it can't say let there be light. It must say that that light is the all in all. And so she says that the word, that Divine Science, the word of God, says to the darkness upon the face of error, God is all in all. You hear the oneness of Divine Science? All in all. And the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. It doesn't say, let there be light, but the light is there. You see, it's a state of being, a self-existent light, self-existent declaration of itself, a self-presentation of itself. That's the word in Divine Science. Where in thought, in our thought, we are at that point where we say, yes, there is only one word of God. Because God always declares himself as what he is. He exists always out of itself as what he is. There is no other self-existence than being. This is the word. The declaration, the word is always the declaration of God. And it declares itself as infinite being, as infinite light, as infinite pervasion of light and of being. It is divine individuality in the singular. Because Divine Science is oneness, you can only have individuality and not individualities at that point. But that individuality is infinite. He speaks about the individuality of the infinite is left to the revelation of Divine Science. The self-existence is not just a block of being, a unit of being. This oneness of the Word of God is infinite individuality. He himself is the individuality of all individualities. But those individualities will come out later on another level. Here we just see that because being is one, it can't be a plural. It only can be a oneness. And that's the infinite fatherhood, the infinite individuality, the infinite I am. Life says, I am. I declare myself as being. I am. As the one life. This is the word. Catch that primal sense of divinity which says, I am. This I am is self-existent. This I am pervades all space. It's an all-pervading light. It's an all-pervading fatherhood. This infinite I am is self-existent and therefore infinite individuality. Let's go on to the Christ. what can be the Christ if we still keep in mind that it must be on the level of divine science? And divine science means that I only am conscious of oneness, not of infinite ideas, of oneness. And Christ says, God is self-expressed. The word says, God is self-existent. And the Christ says, I am self-expressed. I begin to feel, aha, God is not just a being, not just an infinite individuality, but it's also the dynamic of that individuality, the faculty of expressing itself, self-expressed. Therefore, it is that Christ selfhood, which we find here, that one Christ ideal, which says, I have an ideal, and I express that ideal. I'm not just what I am, but I express what I am. I'm the self-expression of being. It is what John Dolly calls the truth itself. It isn't the truth about all the truth. In divine science, it's truth itself. The office of God as Christ here is that God says, I am truth, the one truth, the infinite truth, that truth which knows all in one view, which is conscious of everything in one view. I'm one consciousness. It is showing us really the true Son of God, the heir of God, which says, I express all what the Father has. I take in possession all what the Father has. It's the self-affirmation of being.